Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we sing that without the instruments? How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how how great is our God. How great is our God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love a song like that. I don't know about you. It tells us how great our God is. And it makes me realize that so often in my walk during the week, I realize that I haven't called on that great God. That we try to do things on our own, but we have to realize that we have a great God that wants to touch us and bless us every moment of our day and every day of our week, that God just wants to be with us. And He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, so let's claim it on His word. Amen. Let's stand upon the promises of Jesus when He told us He'd be with us. So here we are today. Here's another promise. Where two or three are gathered, there He is in the presence. I think we've got that number covered. Amen. So He's here. He's here. He's here. Praise God. Amen. You believe it. You believe it. Hallelujah. Father, I want to pray right now for this week. We've got a drama that's coming up on Friday and Saturday. This is a key moment. This is a moment, Lord God, that will significantly touch people's lives if they allow it to. And so I pray that this is an instrument in Your hand. It's a drama presentation. It's a lot of hard work. People have poured their lives into the practicing and putting things together. Thank You for the direction of Miles and putting this blessed drama together and writing it and doing all these things, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that somebody will come in here next Friday and Saturday who is drawn to You, doesn't know You, but would like to get to know You. And so I pray next week, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would just do something great. Oh, God, open up the heavens. Open up the hearts of people around us, Lord, that they would just come to find You as Lord and Savior. Lord, we're so desirous to see our families and our friends and people around us come to that knowledge. As Betty and I were at a wedding yesterday, and our hearts broke for the way the people were away from You, Lord, and don't know You, Lord. God, as we look at the society around us who is not called on Your name, Lord, we pray, Jesus, that they would do it before it's too late. God, we pray that we could be in Your hands, Lord God, an instrument to Your glory and to Your honor, Lord. Everything that we do in this church, Lord, everything that we say, everything that we put our hands to, Lord, we ask that You would just, by Your Holy Spirit, make it a work that You can use. So we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this week. Thank You for the blessed things that are going to happen this week. We give You all the glory and the honor and praise. Be with me now as I bring forth Your word, and let us be so open and ripe for it, Lord God, that our hearts would be just challenged by it and stretched, Lord God. We love You so much, Lord God. You have done so much in our lives, Lord. We don't give You enough glory. We should be praising You more often. We should be lifting our voices more often to You, Lord God. Forgive us when we don't do those things. But God, we love You so very much. Thank You for putting up with us and walking with us, Lord God, every step of our lives. You are so good, and we love You so very much. So bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask you a question, and everybody say it at the same time. How are you today? Did anybody hear anything like not good or
You're out there. I didn't hear it. So I just heard a lot of peachy stuff and everything else. And so, thank you, John. John came in here sick this morning. His wife is sick. And, just in a few days, you're involved in the drama. And, it's not a good time to get sick for our presenters of the drama. So, John, I just pray over you and Joanne right now that they would be touched and blessed. Lord, bring them their voice. Bring them clarity of thought, Lord. Let no disease or anything come upon them in these days ahead, Lord, for them and all the ones who are in the drama this next week, Lord God. Just bless, and give them good health. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Kids can head off. I think they've got something in store for mothers next week. Praise God. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Are you breathing today? Amen. Amen. Then you've got the potential to be able to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't give up on that potential. Keep it going. Keep it exercised. It's like a muscle. You just got to keep doing it. You know, and when you don't feel like doing it, then that's when you need to push yourself. You know, how many feel like getting up in the morning sometimes? But you get up. How many don't feel like sometimes coming to church? Betty does that all the time with me. She says, you got to go. I'm the pastor. You know, so I come to church. Amen. Sometimes we don't feel like things, right? The emotions and everything inside of us just doesn't feel that way. So you have to praise the Lord in the midst of all those things. Amen. Open your Bibles with me one more time. Perhaps one more time. Maybe a couple. To Acts chapter 1. Your Bible should almost be falling open there when you open them. This is the bowl full of all good stuff, these first three verses of Acts chapter 1. It's a really good potential of many things that are coming our way. And I've tried to stay away from a lot of the book of Acts, Pierre, so you could dig right into it. There's a lot of stuff in the book of Acts. I think I've only just touched a little piece of the sand that falls in the seashore of the blessings that are in the book of Acts. And that's going to happen in September when we get back to Bible study on Wednesday nights and have a great time. Betty and I were at a wedding yesterday. I had the pleasure and the honor to officiate at it. And I've always opened my heart to people who are not in the church to perform their wedding ceremony. Obviously, they came to me for some reason. I feel that the Holy Spirit works on their lives when they come and say, Pastor, would you marry us? I never turn anybody away. I would turn somebody away who was of the same sex. I don't believe that the Word of God tells us to do that. And so that's where I stand. Our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada stands that way. We are firm on that. And so just in case you hear of somebody who's the same sex that they say they want to come and see the pastor, I'll let you know right now I won't be doing that. And I will not perform wedding ceremonies for people who are not alike. They either have to be both Christians or both unsaved. I will not put somebody unequally yoked together because it's going to cause problems. So if you're both saved, I'll marry you. If you're both unsaved, I'll marry you. Amen? So just to let people know, that's where I am. But as I was at the wedding yesterday, Betty and I, we were here at the wedding, and there was a lady who was saved in there that we talked to last night. She kind of clicked with us just before our supper. We were over at the Best Western. But when we got there, and of course everybody was in there going to the stages, mild, middle, and max of intoxication. And so Betty and I, we got before the music really started getting to the dance. It's time to fly, you know. So we got out of there. We made our appearance and we did all that. But we figured at that point people wouldn't even see me, let alone talk to me, because their eyes were so inebriated. But we need to pray for people around us. I don't know why they feel so in love with the world. And it drew my mind back to where I was in that very place, that I thought I was having fun. And the mother who is the saved person is the mother of the groom. She says, I'm praying for my son. And so I just am praying for them as well. You know, we were sitting at a table with the people around us, and we were showing pictures of dogs. That's what you do, you know. And you know, our grandchildren are so far away, we don't get many pictures, but we talk about our dogs. And, of course, they had put their dog down, this one couple. And we told them we had to put one of our dogs down last fall. And so it's kind of neat that we have some common ground, commonality in that way. But as I was thinking about dogs, you know, dogs are really interesting. For anybody who has a dog, you just find that they are so much in love with you and infatuated with you that they just, you're the cat's meow. Well, maybe the dog's bark. I don't know what it is. But to them, you're everything. I find that when I come home around 4 o'clock every day that I come to the door and my dog is waiting for me. The tail is just going on the rear end and jump, 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 jump. You know, that's how schnauzers do it. You know, they can't be composed and quiet. They just want to jump and everything else. And she's waiting at the door. She's waiting at the door. And I feel so blessed, you know. Here I come through the door and she says, "You're home!" You know, and she jumps on you, you know. And you feel, hey, yeah. My dog loves me, you know, and it's kind of really neat. And then I look at her and said, "The only reason you're here is because in a few minutes I'm going to put your food down, isn't it?" You know, so I figured that. But anyway, the dog is waiting at the door, and I love that. And you know, I really believe that Jesus is waiting at the door. And I trust that, you know, when he comes to us, that we're just waiting. We're waiting to be in that relationship with him. And it's a fantastic relationship that we have with God, isn't it? Aren't you glad today that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and he's your Savior? And if you don't know him today, do it here right now in church. Just make your business right with God and get close to him and call upon him. He's a great Savior. I can vouch for him in many ways. I've been serving him for so many years, about 40-some years now, and he has never done me wrong. Never done me wrong. Hallelujah. You know, I was reading this interesting fact, and I will be getting to the book of Acts in just a minute, okay? I like to do all my prelude to warm you up. Is that okay? But I was reading this interesting fact about technology and all the inventions they have in the world today. And one of them is the smartphone. How many people have a smartphone? They're kind of nice, eh? I don't know how smart they are, but they're smart, they tell us. So they are our smartphones. And they say most only use it to make and receive calls in spite of all the abilities inside that smartphone. And I sometimes get these emails, "Did you know that your phone could do this?" And I didn't know that. And they kind of take you through some things to show you how to do this on your phone. And they said that the reason why many people do not know a lot of the functions of their smartphone is because they do not read the manuals or all the things about the smartphones. You know, in studying the user manual, it tells of its parts and its functions, and it gives instructions on its use. So if you study the manual and obey the instructions, you get so much more and out of your smartphone than users who do not. And then I thought about that. You know, it's like the Word of God, isn't it? You know, we come around here, we know about worship, and we know about all these things, and we've got the generalities about the Word of God and everything else, but we don't know a lot of the things in here that are in the Word of God, the practices that, I mean, we're kind of exempt from some of the things that God wants to put into our lives, and we're just happy with, I can make a call, I can do this, I can pray quickly, I can do that, and we suffice it to say, we're happy with that. But I think that God wants to get us deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. And he wants us to read the instruction manual to find out about all the things that have been made available to us. Amen? And so I trust that you're getting into the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we had the wedding yesterday, and that was right here at the church. And as I think about this manual, I think that so often we fall short of the glory of God, and we go through all of our mishaps and everything else because we fail to read the manual. If we'd only read that part of the scripture, we probably would have got through this that we're facing. Or if we'd only read that part of the scripture, it would have helped us when we faced all those things. And I said to the couple here yesterday at this wedding, and I said, you know, everybody comes to a ceremony and think this is marriage. I said, marriage ceremony is not marriage. Marriage starts now. It starts now. Marriage is about what happens tomorrow. Marriage is about what happens next week. Marriage is about what happens next year. Marriage is about how committed you are in your vows that you make today and keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. Amen? So I really believe that as I talk to people about marriage, marriage requires work, doesn't it, Betty? It requires work. How many can vouch for that? It takes work to be in a marriage situation where you are actually with somebody else. I mean, I like to do everything my way. I've got this girl here with me. And so we have to work at this to make sure that we work things out. Well, you choose today, babe. No, you choose. You go back and forth. We have fun choosing all those things, and we go through that. And I often think that as I looked at marriages that are not working, I think they're forgetting the manual about marriage. Because marriage will work if you get into the manual. Marriage will keep you strong if you get into the manual. The marriage will be so powerful, and you'll be a testimony to other marriages if you'll only get into the manual. And I think that the manual is probably one of the things that are most neglected in so many areas of our life, not only marriage, but a lot of areas. Amen? So if we read the manual of marriage, it will produce more. Same with our family, same with our finances, same with living day to day, our relationships with all those around us, whether family or work or just casual meetings. The manual, the Bible will produce more if we need it. Do you need more today? I want more today. Hallelujah. There's so much more that God desires for us all in our lives, and I just want more of God. How about you? Hallelujah. So are you ready? Let's go to the Word of God. I'm giving it to you today in the NIV translation. Are you enjoying the different translations as we see it up there every week? I've gone through the New King James. We've gone through the New American Standard. We've gone through the Amplifier, the Amplified Version, and now the NIV translation. And I believe it's good to get translations. Has anybody got any of those Bibles where you have the four translations down the page? Those are so awesome. I like those. Just kind of look across and get the variations of how they put it across. But let's go to the NIV this morning, in these first three verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is welcome here? Through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So Jesus showed him, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to many people. He showed himself to even over 500 people in all those 40 days. But Luke, in these first few verses, is identifying with some people that Jesus is taking these intimate moments, and I believe these 40 days are very intimate moments to solidify some of those things that are necessary in their life to get them going, because they need the manual, they need the instruction manual to get it going, because if the gospel is going to go into all the world, they need to pay attention in these 40 days, just like you and I need to pay attention to what Jesus tells us through the manual. So Luke says, commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Many people follow Jesus, as we read through the Gospels, for various reasons. But Jesus called and chose 12 disciples, now 11 with Judas out of the picture. But the apostles at this time were not only chosen previously to follow Jesus, but now again chosen in these 40 days to listen to what Jesus has to say. Because I believe there's something more. Amen? Do you believe in something more? Amen. Amen. I like when you get to the Bible, because there's always something more. It doesn't stop there. It just keeps going. So Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering, which in itself is a powerful presentation and teaching by Jesus Christ. Just to show yourself alive, man, I would have just been sitting there and said, oh, that's enough. Just let me take this in. I could take 40 days and just look at the resurrected Jesus. That would be enough for me, Showing himself alive, that's something. But there's something more. Something more. There's a visual demonstration. It's powerful, the resurrection, but he also needed to speak to them about the kingdom of God. About the kingdom of God. That's why I've underlined it right down at the bottom. 40 days and he spoke about the kingdom of God. See, we know his further teaching was not about the end times. Just in case you're wondering, because sometimes we think, well, what else could he say about the kingdom of God? What hasn't he said in the four gospels that he's presented to all his followers? What more could he be giving to them? Well, I want to let you know, what it's not is the kingdom of God in the future days, in the end times. How do we know that? If you were to go down to verse 7 in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was asked, is it not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in your own authority? And so they were asking about Is it now? Are you going to restore Israel? Are you going to do it now? So he said, no, it's not now. It's not now. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. In other words, this right now, what I'm telling you about the kingdom of God, this is not the time to think about the end times. There's something more I want to get across to you. I mean, Jesus, if you go to Matthew chapter 24, 25, and 26, and you can read about the on the Mount of Olives that Jesus taught all about the end times. He gave them enough. He told them not to be deceived. He talked about the signs and the wonders and the things that would happen, the disease, pestilence, the earthquakes, and everything else. He told them all about the end times. He's already instructed them, but do not be deceived. Follow me. Amen. So at this time, Jesus had something greater in view for the church, something more. Can you say something more? I like something more. You know, when you get a meal, and I was getting dessert last night at the Best Western, and they always give you these little desserts. I don't know why it is. Like, you know, they just want to, you know, two gulps and it's gone. I looked at Betty, and there was a lady that left our table, and there was one sitting over there. Remember that one that was sitting there, Betty? And I was just, oh, I wonder if somebody wants that. You know, you ever felt that? You know, and the lady had left. She'd gone to another table, and so somebody else came down and sat at the person beside our table, and that dessert is sitting there, you know, just eating away at me. You know, there's a dessert sitting there. Nobody's touching it, and I just gulped mine down in two and a half bites, and I got it down there, and that's sitting over there. The guy came and sat down, and then the lady that worked for the Best Western came over and said, is anybody eating this dessert? And the guy said, no, I had mine at my other table over there. And the lady, I see her over there eating with it. And I'm ready to, you know, and she looks around and she says, okay. And then she grabs it and walks away. I'm like I'm just about ready to run after her, you know, and said, no. But I held myself, you know. Have you ever felt that, where you just want something more that wasn't enough, you know? And it's kind of like when you go to these places like Dairy Queen, they never give you enough. They just tantalize you and get you that place. But we want something more, amen? So praise God. So anyway, verse 8 in this is tips us off to something more, and we'll be getting to that in just a few weeks. On May 20th is Pentecost Sunday. Did you know that? 2 weeks from today is Holy Ghost Sunday. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost Sunday. I mean, every Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday. But May 20th will be Pentecost Sunday, of which when we participate and experience and get into the teaching of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And I believe that that is what something more that Jesus is trying to get across. So it's going to be a fun time. Amen. Next week is Mother's Day. Are you ready for that? It's going to be fun, 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 fun. We've got a little gift for all the mothers, too, so we encourage you to come out. So bring all those ladies that you know about. Hopefully we have enough gifts. We've got quite a few of them that are coming our way. So we'll have a gift for the moms. So be here. Amen. It's going to be a good Sunday. And by the way, we've got somebody speaking next week that's going to be. Anyway, I don't want to give it away. It's going to be a good time. Praise God. So today, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Pertaining to the kingdom of God in the New King James, or spoke about the kingdom of God. You know, in the Greek, that word spoke about or pertaining or concerning the kingdom of God is P-E-R-I. It kind of deluges it into, he's talking about the kingdom of God, or concerning, or on account of, or for near the kingdom of God, or around the kingdom of God. And I don't know if some translations have really hit the nail on the head when it comes to this word concerning or pertaining to. I like the New American Standard Version, which I put up here last week. The translation is concerning rather than pertaining to, like in the King James Version or the New King James Version. Pertaining is an interesting word, but concerning is a different word. Now, I drive a Honda. And I may pick up a book about the Honda and read through it. And as I go through that book about my Honda, there may be some things in there pertaining to my Honda. And so that's kind of interesting. So I started thinking about this word pertaining to. And so you could read a book about things pertaining to something, right? But if Honda called me up and said, we've got some concerns about your Honda, I will listen a little more sharply than I was about pertaining to my Honda. You know, pertaining to is like that manual that you'll put down. You never read about your smartphone. You never read about your car. How many have those big, thick books sitting in your glove box you never, ever have opened about your car? Amen? Everybody's got one of those things in there. And it's really interesting, but they're there. But we don't open them. It's kind of interesting. But I get to that place where I'm more about concerned about than pertaining to. And you know, it's interesting because when I get to the Bible, that's why it's good to have those four translations going down. And anybody who speaks French here will understand that when you try to bring something from French over to English, it's very difficult at times. And I've heard people before tell me a joke, well, it doesn't seem the same in English like it did in French. So it's something about the translations that we really have to get into to understand. See, our English words sometimes lead us in a different path, so it's good to study and get something more from the Word of God, go a little deeper in the Word of God, but that takes time, that takes effort. If you want to study the Word of God, you have to sit down and study it. Amen? But Jesus seems to be giving his apostles the idea that something more is needed in their lives. That's why he showed up for these 40 days. If the church is supposed to blossom and grow and multiply and reach to this whole wide world through them in the next phase of God's plan on earth after Jesus' end, then it is very important. It is concerning the kingdom of God. It's concerning not about or surrounding the kingdom of God. It's very important to understand it's concerning the kingdom of God. In fact, it has everything to do about the kingdom of God. Interesting, as you read through the New Testament, the Gospels, for instance, there seems to be this twofold saying, and this throws people off at times, and I went and I studied this, because sometimes you'll see that the translation says the kingdom of heaven, and sometimes it says kingdom of God. Now, I looked at that, and I started going through some commentators. I said, well, so what is this, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God? Is this two different things? Well, many commentators say, no, it's the same thing. Some say it's different. Some say it's different. Some say it's the same thing. I started going through them, and I said, you know, this is interesting. If you want to know more about this, I went through it all. You study it and find out if there's a difference, okay? That's your homework for next week, to find out if there's any difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, okay? But suffice it to say today, Jesus speaks about a kingdom. A kingdom, okay? And we all know that a kingdom requires a king. And we all know, hopefully you know, that we have a king and his name is Jesus. Jesus is king. Amen? Now, Pilate, he confronted this Jesus one time when he was brought before him by the Sanhedrin. He had to deal with him. And so Pilate, you know, asked him, you know, and he mockingly put a sign above the cross where Jesus was crucified, which greatly disturbed the Jewish leaders. They didn't want that there. They didn't want Jesus as their king. But if Mark chapter 15, verse 26, it says the inscription of his accusation was written above the cross, the King of the Jews. You know, Pilate may have drawn that from his conversation with Jesus, because if you were to go back a few verses and find out, Pilate asked Jesus, said, tell me, are you the king of the Jews? Tell me, point blank. And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. So even Pilate stood before all the crowds and brought out Barabbas and brought out Jesus. Remember when he had the two choices there before them, because the custom of their time was to allow one prisoner to be set free on this Passover occasion. So Pilate stood up and cried out to the crowds and the Jewish leaders and everybody else, and he said, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Didn't say his name Jesus, but he said the King of the Jews. I believe he said it mockingly, tauntingly, because he knew the Jewish people didn't like that. But he addressed him. He said, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And even though it was so funny that he did it that way, but yet there's a deep, deep, deep truth in all this, that he is indeed the King of the Jews. He's indeed the King of the Gentiles. He's the King of all this wide universe. He has a kingdom. Amen? And you know, it's really nice, because we come in here today, we're part of the kingdom. We are his subjects. We are his chosen. We are the born-again saints of God. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. We are his property. Amen? I like that. He's claimed us. The devil can't have us. He's claimed us. He's washed us by the blood. The devil can't come around us. Well, he come around us, but Jesus said, oh, no, 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 no. You go back to the book of Job if you don't think that the devil can't touch us. And God says, you can only do what I tell you to do around my servant Job. And that's what he does with us too. Amen? So we are his property. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus, as John says. So thank God for those blessings. John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13 says, but as many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God, children of the kingdom, of the kingdom. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God, of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. We are the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise his name. See, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, if you go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand because the king is here. He's here. Jesus is here. That's why it's at hand. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's here. The king is here. Why? Because he is the king came down from heaven. So praise the Lord. Even in that glorious prayer that we used to pray in schools, remember that prayer that they took out of our schools? So sad. But if you were to go to that, and I love the King James Version of this, the Lord's Prayer. And after this manner, therefore pray ye, said Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, our Father, come on, let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think Jesus was trying to get across something about the kingdom there. Do you believe that Jesus was trying to establish the authority of God here on planet Earth, to bring us the understanding that God is in charge, God is in control, God is over all these things? He's bringing his authority right here on Earth. Even in this prayer, Matthew chapter 6, he was giving to his church, of which even today is still held high in esteem. The king is here. The kingdom is here. Hallelujah. See, the kingdom in Greek is basileia, which means royalty or rule or a realm. Aren't you glad today for the kingdom of God? Aren't you glad we have a king who is greater than all other kings? I like what it says in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Praise God. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Jesus is our king. He's the King of kings. I'm so glad today that I'm in the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? I am his and he is mine. I'm his and he is mine. The banner over me is love. Oh, sorry. Just got carried away for a few moments there. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep it going. Keep preaching. So, this kingdom is something that you and I need so much in our lives. Matthew chapter 24. I don't have that for you, but it says there that Jesus in that great Mount of Olivet discourse about the end times. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. So wherever Jesus went, he wanted to make sure that people were aware of the kingdom of God, to draw their minds close to the Father into the kingdom. I like what he had all these experiences. Aren't you glad for experiences in our life? And Jesus being the Son of God, he had these really unusual things because everywhere he went, people were attracted to him, drawn to him, or repelled by him, whatever they felt or whatever went through. But there was these Jewish leaders that were kind of crowding around Jesus this one time, and they were always, you know, these Jewish leaders. You never knew what they were up to. You know, sometimes like people around us, you know. Well, they laugh at us, but, you know, you never know. Well, like, are they want to know more about Jesus? And it's kind of interesting, some of the things. But it says here in Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well and asked him, so Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered, "The first of all commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So, you know what? Good situation that they're in. But all of a sudden the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He." Where do you think he was trying to go with this now? "And to love him with all the heart and the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, to love one neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices." And as Jesus listened to that, and as the Son of God standing before this scribe, there was a connection. And all of a sudden Jesus said this, "Now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" There's something going on in your heart, and you're not very far from the kingdom of God. I like it when people are getting close. I don't know about you, but you can sometimes tell when you talk to people that, you know, you're getting a little closer, aren't you? Things are just working in your heart and soul. I can remember a guy at Bell Canada. He used to always laugh at me. His name was Yvon Picard. He used to always laugh at me and go through all those things and everything else. And I told him one day, "Yvon, one of these days, Jesus is going to get a hold of you." And one day he came in, big smile on his face, and I looked at him. I just knew. He said, "Yvon, you've got Jesus." And he said, "Yeah, I'm born again now." And, you know, praise God. I knew you were close. I knew you were close. There was something going on in your heart. You started to ask questions. You had this kind of a inquisitive. Even though you got mad at me in times, you'd joke with me and call me names. I knew you were getting close. So, you know, isn't that good when people get close? Yeah, I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're getting close. Maybe you keep coming to church. Come check us out. I don't know. They say people could sit in churches for years and never give their heart to Jesus. You know, that's crazy. I just look at you and I think, hey, they're in church. They must be a Christian. But it's like Keith Green used to say that when you go to McDonald's, does that make you a hamburger? You know? So just because you're in church doesn't mean you're saved. But you're here today. Maybe you're getting close. Maybe you've been coming to church for weeks and months, maybe even years, and you just keep checking it out. You're getting close. And I would say, come on, lay it all down. Get into the kingdom. Stop fooling around and come into the kingdom. Just give your heart to Jesus. Today it's your choice, not my choice. If it was my choice, I'd lasso you and bring you into the kingdom, but I can't do that. I'd like to, but I can't. But the choice is yours. Hallelujah. See, even a Jewish leader named Nicodemus, he recognized something different, powerful about this Jesus. And he came to Jesus. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, that's a profound statement right there to this Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus, checking him out. I believe that Nicodemus was one of those guys getting close. And so as he saw him getting close, Jesus just laid it all out there and said, "Look at Nicodemus, I say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Simple as that. You've got to stop being all that religious stuff. Even though it may have led you to this point in your life, and religion is good at times to get us to that place. We were talking on Wednesday night. You know, I've always found over the years that when you get somebody saved, if they were a sinner and bad and everything else, when they didn't know anything about church, when they get saved, they're kind of like, "How do you pray? How do you do this?" I told people on Wednesday night that, you know, I always find that, you know, if you get somebody coming from another religion, they were so religious, they went to prayer meetings and counting beads or doing all the stuff that they go through. If they come to Jesus, you know, they've got all the kind of practice down now. All they have to do is put into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, put it into relationship instead of into all that memorization and going through, oh, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do it. They get it because they love it. They come to church, they love Jesus. Amen. So Jesus wanted something different, even in this Nicodemus. And so it's really good. So Nicodemus was challenged with this. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I like that. Many people get hung up on that phrase, don't they? Born again. What does it mean to be born again? Nicodemus got hung up on it. You know, born again. Could I say born again today? Yeah. How about I say saved? Well, that's too Christianese. How about, would you like to be free? You know, we can put it in any word today. How would you like to be in love with Jesus? You know, put any words you want to, but you just need to come to Jesus, because I know what the Word of God says. It says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be different, shall be in the kingdom of God, shall be in that realm of the Lord's Jesus with a Savior in their very heart. Praise God. However you want to say it, just put it into words and call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you have not called upon Jesus, then you cannot say Jesus is Lord of your life. You cannot say you're in the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, you need to be born again to receive it. And all of our life long, as we as Christians are in this kingdom, you know, I know that we have to be kingdom concerned. Kingdom concerned. You listen, you read some of the great teachings of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. And I love, you know, go through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 sometime. It's all in red. It's all in red. The profound teachings of Jesus. And when you get down to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Sounds like the kingdom is where we should be living each and every day of our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God. When you wake up in the morning, seek first the kingdom of God. What has God got in store for us that day? So what should the church be doing? What is it that Jesus is giving concerning the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 1? What is it those in those final 40 days that's so important for Jesus to show up and speak about concerning the kingdom of God? And I think that we get a glimpse from the forerunner of Jesus. Remember John the Baptist? Because if you were to go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 3, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Church, we are in a wilderness. We are in a wilderness. Our world is in wilderness. Our nation of Canada is in wilderness. The paths need to be made straight. We need to call them out from the darkness and bring them to the light. We're in a wilderness. And so I really believe the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is just like John the Baptist crying out, repent, 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 repent. Come to God, come to God. See, the church needs to prepare the path. I believe that we're path makers and we're laying them out. You know, when you come into weddings, I like those little girls that throw the flowers out before the bride comes down the aisle. And we didn't have any of that yesterday, thank you. Or you would have been cleaning it up or picking up roses today or whatever. We didn't have that. But we're like people that are preparing the pathway. Come to Jesus. You know, we're throwing down the Word of God. We're giving them something to attract them, something to make them think about Jesus. We're preparing the path. Repent. Repent. So we're calling them out. See, I really believe the church needs to be in this. We're calling them to the cross. We're calling them to the Lamb of God. We're calling them to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, I really believe the church needs more. Church needs more. We need more. Listen to what Jesus said to his listeners and at the conclusion of one of his great parables, Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, this was Jesus talking to the Jewish nation. And he said, here I am before you, the cornerstone. And yet you reject him. You reject him. And I really believe that that same scripture is going on today. Don't have to be Jew or Gentile. I believe that everybody who rejects him is rejecting the chief cornerstone. And perhaps it could, but I don't want to play around with all of those things in the Word of God. But another part of what Jesus said, even about the last days, is what people will look outside of themselves for the authority of the kingdom of God. It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. You know, I looked up that word observation. You know, when you read the Word of God, you look at things and you, what does he mean by that? What is Jesus talking about? So I looked at that word observation, and it's talking about ocular evidence. Anybody know what ocular means? Dealing with the eyes. It deals with ocular evidence, to inspect it, to just look at it, to walk all around it and kind of get a good picture of what it looks like from every side, just to walk around. But it's not walking into it. It's only eyeing it, and it's an ocular evidence. I don't believe that Jesus just wants us to look at him. Looks pretty good on the cross. See the blood? See that? Everything else? Jesus wants us in. Wants us in, into him. The kingdom of God is within you. He's right deep within inside of us. Doesn't it feel good when the kingdom is inside of us? That's what changes us. That's what makes us different, when this kingdom is deep down inside of us. And we don't look at it. And we don't walk around it. We get into it. Do you want more today? I want more of the kingdom of God. Well, let me get down to my conclusions, okay? Not collusion, conclusion, okay? Only Donald Trump can be under that kind of a thing. I want to get into conclusions, okay? Sometimes you have to watch what you say. People misinterpret you, right? See, I'm getting ready for a great prayer meeting here tonight. Louise and I have sat down. I've consulted with Louise because she looks after our Warriors prayer night. And I thought, if we're going to have prayer in this church, I want to consult with somebody who is involved with the prayer of our church. So we sat down and we've come up with some things. I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us for tonight. I'm looking forward to a great prayer meeting. And it's going to be a great time. We're going to be praying over the kingdom of God all along the Seaway. All along, right from Brockville all the way down to Cornwall. And we're not limited to this area just because the six churches are here. But I'm praying for the kingdom of God to be displayed to the lost people around us. I'm praying for revival. How about you? I'm praying for what God wants to do in this whole area. So I invite you to come tonight, if you are so inclined. Could I say that? I invite you to come tonight. So there's your invitation. Okay? I've been invited by the pastor to the prayer meeting tonight. There you go. You got the invitation. Amen. It's going to be a good prayer meeting. So be there. Don't be square. As we conclude the service today at the communion table, and this is a beautiful, beautiful time, the breaking of bread together, the drawing of our mind in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and things concerning the kingdom of God, laid into our heart about what Jesus has in store for the church. It's all about his blood, his broken body, and about his soon return. It all concerns the gospel. So, listen to what Jesus has to say. If I got that scripture, I don't think I have this one here. The communion table, Last Supper. Jesus sitting with his disciples. Even that one who is going to betray him is sitting there. But there he is sitting there, bringing their minds to the very moment that Jesus was died on the cross. Listen to what he says. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Wow. When we all get together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I will not drink of it with you. Here we are in church. He's not partaking with us. But one day, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he says, "When I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Isn't that beautiful? I just love the Lord Jesus Christ and all he does in our life. Praise God. You know, in my Father's kingdom, Betty and I were singing this song. Do you remember going around? In my Father's house. In my Father's house, there is joy, joy. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Everybody heard that? To my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Hallelujah. Come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a great place to be. Hallelujah. I was reading in a book the other day, and they took the whole interesting portion of the kingdom of God, and they put it into four lines. Have you ever tried to sum things up or do something like you know, to suffice it to say that? That's what it means. And this guy took the whole four gospels and thinking about the kingdom of God and put it down to this. First, in the gospels, there's the proclamation of the kingdom. Second, there's the proclamation of the king. But the sad part of it all was the third part. There's also the rejection of the king. And there's also the rejection of his kingdom. As I looked at that, I thought, wow, that's exactly where we are today. Here we are today proclaiming the kingdom, proclaiming the king. But how many around us are rejecting the king and rejecting the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, do you know him today? Are you sure you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? You have to really get to that place. You could be sitting in church, as I said, and never give your heart to Jesus. Come on, if you don't know Jesus, give your heart to him. Amen? Yeah, some people say, well, you know, one of these days, maybe when I get old and gray, days tick away. You know, it's funny, all the excuses why people never come to Jesus. But you know, Jesus says, come a lot in the Word of God. Come unto me. Come. 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 He's bidding us come. And you know what the whole thing about that is, when you hear the word come, either people say, yes, Lord, or they stay away. Would you consider that today before we come to this moment at the table? This is an intimate time when believers draw in remembrance of all those things that Jesus did for us. You know, we were in Wednesday night Bible study last week and going through all the medical part and the case for Christ and looking about what Jesus suffered and went through. And we read it so quickly in the gospel accounts that Jesus was crucified. But if you were to take that word crucified and really examine it and study it and find out from the Roman part of how they treated prisoners and how they dealt with people and how the Jewish people hated Jesus, just to say he was crucified is taking it so lightly. But to consider all that Jesus went through for you and I. And you know what? We were also talking on Wednesday night, you know, that if it were you or I, we'd say, oh no, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. But Jesus never had that. He went to the cross and he died for everybody. Never ever thought of himself, just thought of the whole world. What a king we have. What a kingdom we live in. You know, and it's an intimate time that we come to this place. He wasn't dying for himself, but he was dying for all the sins of all mankind. Can you understand that? Praise God. Would you stand with me? Would the worship team come, please? Hallelujah. I was listening to this song a few weeks ago, and I thought this would be a really nice song for communion today. And I asked John if he could do it, and you're always so gracious, reply, and say, we'll give it a shot. So we're going to sing this, and these are the words. This song is by Paul Baloche. It says, I am covered by your blood. I'm known by you and loved. With nothing left to prove or hide, by your grace I am redeemed. And my identity is knowing that I am your child. I am grateful to be called your child. And the chorus goes, oh, what a gift you gave. Oh, what a price you paid. More than I deserve. More than I deserve. Your constant faithfulness, your every promise is more than I deserve. More than I deserve. Heavenly Father, as we come to this communion table, as we center in about what the things are concerning the kingdom of God, Lord, your delight is to see the people come to know you and to serve you as Lord and Savior. Your delight is that we are walking in the kingdom, living in the kingdom, representing the kingdom wherever we go. So what a joy it is this morning as we come to this table of remembrance and remember the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who came into the world at the first advent as a Savior, as a suffering servant, to die a death upon a cross so that we could be saved and set free today. Oh, God, help us never to take these moments lightly when we come to a communion table, but to treasure them and ponder them in our hearts and say, God, I remember when I gave my heart to you, Jesus. I remember when you came into my heart. I remember when you changed my life. I remember when you made all things new. I remember when we started walking together and enjoying each other's presence. I remember when you became my Savior. I draw back on those moments, Jesus, when everything changed in my life. And oh God, as I come to this very place, as we all come to this place, Lord, help us to treasure it, Lord, and say, God, you laid down your life so I could be here in church today. You laid down your life so I could read the Word of God today. You laid down your life so that I could sing songs about you today. You laid down your life, oh God, so that I could have my mind fixed upon you. Lord, you laid down your life so that I could be a different person in this world, that I could be new, a new creation. Jesus, we owe it all to you, the one who died upon the cross for us. We love you so very much. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the emblems are passed, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do take them as they're passed your way. But if you have not yet made that commitment, I would ask that you allow them to pass by, because this is a very memorable moment. We're celebrating what Jesus did at the cross. And if you have not accepted him as your Savior, then I would just ask if you let them pass by. But before they come, you could make your business right with God. You could call upon him right now. Say, Jesus, be my Savior. That by the time those emblems get to you, you could partake of them along with us. So as we pass them out, hold them until I give you the acknowledgement of when we'll partake of them together. Would the board members come forward, please? You may be seated. Sacrifice. That we've got more in Jesus than what we deserve. We've got quite the gift, quite the Savior, quite a blessing we have in Jesus, more than we deserve. Hallelujah. Oh, what a gift you gave. Oh, what a price you paid. More than I deserve. More than I deserve. Your constant faithfulness. How many know that we're not very faithful at times? Your constant faithfulness, your every promise is more than I deserve. More than I deserve. Hallelujah. Father, in these moments, let us just relate to that. That you are so much more than we deserve. But what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So God, we count you as the faithful one. Forgive us for all of our shortcomings. As we come to this table, let us examine ourselves. Lord, let us look deep inside. Holy Spirit, work on us. The kingdom of God is inside of us. Let that kingdom experience come through us, Lord, to those around us. We love you so very much. Thank you, God, for the kingdom of God. It's here in our hearts. We love you, Lord. That's why Paul says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink, he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. More than I deserve. Hallelujah. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes in the kingdom. Let's partake of the cup together. Hallelujah. Oh, what a gift you gave.
What a price you paid.
More than I deserve. More than I deserve.
Your constant faithfulness, your every promise is
more than I deserve,
more than I deserve,
more than all,
more than all.
Praise you, God.
Riches of this world, more than all, more than all the treasures I could hold, more than all.
Good.
Hallelujah. Now just remember this as you go from church. Oh, what a gift you gave. Oh, what a price you paid. And when you remember that, you can't go wrong, because that's kingdom. That's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We love you so very much. Lord, we're praying for a great time tonight as we come together with the six churches, that we would just see you move. Oh God, how we want your kingdom. We want your kingdom through all this area, Lord God, just for people to know Jesus. So God, as we go from this place, give us a great day, a great afternoon, but bring us back tonight, Lord, to celebrate and pray and to wait upon the Lord and to intercede for the things that are happening around us. We bless you. We love you. Go with us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. See you tonight.